Blog Talk Radio.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. What fellowship, what joy divine on the everlasting land. And what a blessedness, what a peace in my living on the everlasting land. Leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are saved and secure from all around. Oh, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are leaning on the everlasting lands. And oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting lands. And oh, how bright the path goes from day to day, leaning on the everlasting lands. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ our Savior. Where we are served and secure from all along. Excuse me. Well, it's very dry. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Well, we are leaning on the everlasting lands. You see, what How am I to do what? How am I to believe on the everlasting love? You see, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dearly on the everlasting love. Where we are leaning on Jesus. Christ, our Savior, we are safe and secure from all alarm. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are leaning on the everlasting and the leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are safe and secure from all evil. We are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are leaning on the evil. Oh, that's a good afternoon to you, good evening to you. This is Pastor Mike Peavy of the Golgotha Church of Christ, and just so excited to be with you today in spite of this weather change. Man, we're just so glad that the Lord let us see fit to see the weather and to experience it. But it's definitely had a toll on sinuses and all kinds of various things. So I'm not one that has allergies that I know so far, but I know people with allergies are having a very rough time. I myself am just having a tough time keeping my throat lubricated. And so just because of this this very crazy weather, we in Chicago got another 3 or 4 inches of snow today, April 14th, one day before tax day. And so God is in control. He keeps us on our toes and keeps us thinking and knowing that he has it all in his hands. Good to see a couple more signs. Good to see you guys that are coming on. Share this video if you can. And we're just so glad that God has saw fit to bring us together even at this very hour. Willing my God, is God good to you at all? When I lost someone dead, consider all the words thy hand have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. God passed throughout the Sister Barrett, then I sing my soul, my faith, God to thee. How great my love. How many of you know today that God's great? How great thy wrath. Even though you only got a half of this, God is still great. Then that sings my soul. city of God to thee. Look at that today, y'all. I have it right. Have it right. Oh, yes. And when I think that God is then not sparing, sent him to die. It's getting there. Send him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly buried. Christ bled and died to take my sin, menacing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Listen to my call a little bit. Obeyed my word. Oh, yeah, that feels much better. How great the Lord, then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. I see you there, Williams. Here it is, man. Don't miss your shot. When Christ shall come, here it is, y'all. What shout of acclamation? And take me home with joy shall fill my head. You ever spent time thinking about that? Then I shall in a humble adoration. And there proclaim right there, my God, how great thou art. Deep breath, y'all. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great the wrath, then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. You so bad to think about how great God is and what he's done in your life. Time to stop whispering and time to just shout. Let people know the goodness of God. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Jesus went through a lot for us. One more song, and then we will have our invocation. If you have any prayer requests, just type them in if you would. And again, if you could share this video, we'd appreciate it so very much. So glad to see you guys this evening. And we're just so thankful that God is allowing us to continue to share his word. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Touch my eyes that I might see all your goodness, grace, and power. Stay beside me every hour. Be my drink, be my living bread. Keep me sheltered and keep me fed. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Let my heart be one with thee. When I'm worried, soothe my mind. Let me sweet contentment find. May I run this wicked race filled by your amazing grace. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Holy Spirit, rescue me. Set my soul completely free. Beside Jordan, make my bed. In God's bosom, lay my head. Let me learn in a brand new place. See my blessed Savior's face. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, rescue me. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Touch my eyes that I might see your goodness, your grace, and power that stays beside me every hour. Be my drink, be my living bread. Keep me sheltered, keep me fed. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we come to you today thanking you the best we know how, thanking you for everything. And I mean everything. Father, we know that you are a God that sits high and looks low and has in your peripheral vision the panoramic visions of life. Everything man can ask for, everything man looks to, we know that all spiritual blessings and all goodness comes from thee. So, Father, we thank you today. May not have been ready for the weather. It's affecting some of us, some of our vocals, but it's still good to be able to have the senses, to be able to touch and to feel, experience. And we know that you do things for a reason. One of the greatest reasons is that you use coldness to clean the air, to get the pollution out, not only out of the air, many times off the street corner. And Father, we need to recognize that sometimes there are some polluted situations in our lives, that we need to recognize that these are toxic situations that need a special help and special attention. So thank you for the wake-up call. Thank you for keeping us on our toes. Thank you for allowing us to be shocked into the situation where we have to look to Thee. Father, that we never forget Thee. Don't become so comfortable in 70-degree weather that we can't still look to Thee. And the only time we look to Thee is when it's 40 below. Father, we come to You. We love You so much, and there's just so many things we need to pray for. This world is firing in a crazy direction. We ask You to continue to keep us safe and sound from any hurt, harm, or danger. So glad to hear the Tyler Woods is somewhat back on track. We're winning the Masters again. Hopefully this will continue to move him in a direction that will have him to seek Thee even more. Father, we're just so thankful for entertainment and things that keep us focused, but also keep us out of trouble. We're so thankful for that. I come to You today, Father, in regards to some special requests, very special requests for a good friend of mine, B.J. Brian Jones, who is in the hospital. I ask You to be with him and strengthen him, his family, in the way he stands in need of. Not only B.J., I'm praying for my cousin, Tim. Praying for my cousin, Tim. Ask You to be with him. Strengthen him in the way You know he stands in need of. Father, I understand he's in that intensive care. And speaking to my cousin, Deborah, and I ask You just to continue to be with him in ways that You know he stands in need of. He's a strong vessel. Son of older cousin Ari, who passed away some years back, and he's Ari Jr. So, Father, we're coming to You, ask You to continue to be with them, strengthen them, and where they stand in need of. Not only him, the Jacksons, the Thomas family, the Owsley family, the Peavy family, the Yancey family, and all the derivatives thereof. Just be with us in a very powerful way. We don't want to be remiss. We want to come to You also, Father, in regards to the passing of Buddy Guy's drummer, a good friend in the music industry known by so many, Timothy Austin, pocket drummer extraordinaire. So we're praying for him, praying for his family, and I'm praying for his son, Duan, specifically. It's one I do know. I ask You to keep him strong and continue to help them through this process, Father. And all the lives that Tim has touched, we ask You just to be with them and help them to repair and to recognize that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But as the book of James says, the life is but a vapor. I don't care how old or how young we think we can be. We all are sick enough to die. It's only God who duct tapes us together and gives us spirit to continue to let us swirl. We're continuing to pray for the Eddie Taylor Jr. family. Ask You to bless them and keep them in the way they stand in need of, in the passing of their youngest brother, Eddie Taylor Jr., great guitarist, son of Eddie Taylor Sr., who was the guitarist with Jimmy Reed. We're praying for that family, continue to bless them and keep them. Always still praying for the Eddie Shaw family, ask You to bless them and keep them in ways they stand in need of. I see that your sister Yolanda Gant is on, and she's asking for prayer. Keep her in prayer. I know she was traveling to work today, traveling to church today, according to her Facebook post. I hope everything went well. But, Father, we ask you to be with her and with Lil Bit and be with Denise and LL and the entire family. For we have lost and you have gained a great warrior, Sister Bernice Lee, which is Yolanda's mother, Denise's mother, Calvin's mother, Brenda's mother, and there's one other, Fisher's brother. Yeah, so this just has to be within the strength of them during this time. If you've never been on the front bench, you don't understand what it's all about. But sometimes when the fanfare is over with, people kind of go back into their own ways, but it's the family that has to deal with life. So, Father, I'm asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to just continue to comfort them during this time. Strengthen them in the dark hours, every holiday, every moment. And we're praying that we here in Golgotha and others will be a great support. She's under great leadership at the Austin Church of Christ under Brother Errol Leach Sr., a great man of God from Ghana, but also just a great humanitarian, man who loves people. And so we know that they'll be comforted and taken care of there. But, Father, we just pray that we just be good Christians. And if there's any time, any way where we can just add a word of encouragement and some support, that we will do that in a nature that will be pleasing and acceptable in thy eyesight. Praying for the family in general and for the youth that don't understand the passings that takes place in our lives. Pray for Ed Williams today, highways, byways, and skyways. Good to see you, Doc, as you continue to be with him and bless him where he stands in need of. Them out in the Chicago Heights and under Brother Hunt and Brother Bowles. Continue to bless them and keep them in the way they stand in need of. Praying for Robert Payne. I got a chance to speak to Sister Lolita. She's asking for prayer. Lolita Bennett asked you to be with her and bless her. Where she stands in need of, Charles and Carmelisa and Martise, bless them and keep them in ways they stand in need of. She had a chance to talk to Brother Robert Payne and made sure that he had my number because I guess he has a phone or something. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk at some point in time. While I'm praying that he will stay strong, that you will even work out where he's at, the things that need to be that will help him to become more a more of a faith warrior with you and help them during times of disappointment, times of difficulty, and times of need. We just want to shout today for a Presbyterian, Dwayne Anderson. We ask you to be with him and his family and just want to say congratulations to him, Father. Thank you for just being with him and his wife and that family as they are taking on the work of their father and their mother that had passed away some time ago, but he's now stepped into the pulpit. I think last week was his first inauguration officially. And so we're just praying for him and praying for the work there. Ask you to bless them and keep them in the way they stand in need of. And we're also praying for Eleanor Peavy. Good to see you. I'm glad to have you with us today, my mother. And my wife, who's on Blog Talk Radio, those of you that are tuning in through Blog Talk Radio in Norway and in Canada, as well as the continent of the United States, we're so glad to have you. And we're just so thankful that God has brought us together. My wife and I got the opportunity to celebrate our 13th wedding anniversary at a grand time and ended with the culmination not only of a play and some great fine dining, but got a chance to go to the Maywood congregation and see God's work at hand pronosticator. My friend Neil Lopez is striding again and is preaching the gospel with power and passion. So I ask you, Father, to be with that work and with the Hillside congregation that is merging in. Be with Brother Keith Murphy, Brother Avery, and all the leadership there accordingly as they are in the hands of some great people with Maywood's Paul and Brother Dante and Spirit Man and the rest. I'm blessing to keep them in the way they stand in need of Brother Spivey and all of them. So we're just so glad the word continues to roll on as you continue to be with them and strengthen them in ways that you know they stand in need of. Father, we're praying for my brother Butch, as you be with him and strengthen him. My sister, my cousin Carmel, be with her and bless her. My sisters Lois and Phyllis. My sister Shanice and my other sister Shawan. Bless them and all their families accordingly. My sister-in-law Alice, Mom Linda, as you bless them and keep them in the way they stand in need of, and all the derivatives of the families, Skirky and Felix and Irv and Paul, bless them accordingly. My brother Darnell, my brother Tyrone, my brother Moles, my brother Damien, strengthen them and bless them in ways they stand in need of, and others accordingly as we stand strong. Praying for Brother Lugo, Sister Lugo, continue to bless them and keep them. And Father, just keep us all centered in what you would have for us to be. And if this will be enough on this day, whatever we forget, Father, we ask you to continue to strengthen us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. As we prepare ourselves for the communion time. Bless and get my Savior lead, and in my soul in that, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy of the day. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself tears of that I can do. It was at the cross, Golgotha's cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy of the day. Amen. We find in Acts 27, it was upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. The Apostle Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse 23. As he said, for I received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body that was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup. And after he had supped, saying that this cup is the New Testament in my blood, drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many were sick and weakly among you, and many did sleep. Let us have prayer for the bread and the wine. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart as we look to Jesus as our author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen. Amen and amen. You may now take of the bread and the wine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Get my set for the word. Oh, let a praise of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, and washed in his blood. For this is my story, this is my soul. We all have one. Praising my Savior, when it is all. This is my story, this is my soul. Praising my Savior, all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, vision of election, now based on my sight. Angels descending, bring forth echoes of mercy and whispers of love. For this is my story, this is my soul, praising my Savior. But this is my story, this is my song, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all in our rest, I in my Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness and lost in his love. For this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, praising this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. All day long, praising my Savior. Praise him in what you do. Praise him in how you act. Praise him in how you respond. Praise him in how you represent him among others and among your enemies. Praise him in your talk. Praise him in your walk. Praise him in your smile. Praise him in your joy. How do you praise God? It's an awesome thing to be a child of God and to be able to surrender and just give it up for the Lord. If you have a copy of God's manuscript, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to take a look at a young ruler that had much possession. And preacher, why don't we continue to look at this text? Because many of us have more than we will ever understand. You may not have $20,000 in the bank, or you may not have hit the lottery, so to speak. But you're in a position that folks below you look up in. You're in a position of being able to reach out and help someone. But the question is, what is your mental ascension? What's your mental attitude? Or your spiritual indebtedness. And we can talk a good game. We can wear a strong cross. We can look like there's nothing wrong. But deep down, God knows that there's something that has to be worked on in every one of us. Let's take a look at this text. Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 17, if you're there. The Bible says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, Rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now that's important. When someone is focused on not present life, but life after death, eternal life, "And what must I do to make sure that I have myself in check so that I will be able to spend eternity with thee?" It's also important to recognize that this young man did not haste when he saw Jesus. This young man did not have a problem worshiping Jesus. The Bible says he ran up to Jesus and he knelt down before him. He bowed himself. He lowered himself. He humbled himself in front of his master. And then he posed the question, the petition, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a question we all must ask as people are coming and going, and even the death of a good friend of mine, Bob LaShore. And it's just taking the blue community by storm, but God ain't doing nothing new now than he has been doing from day one. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death cometh the judgment. James said, "Life is but a vapor. It appears steam. It appears for a little while. We're here on bad time, and we need to make sure that we're right with God." So it's so important that this rich young ruler, this young man who sees Jesus, not only wants to be in the presence of Jesus, but he exerts energy in running to Christ. Or see, some of us think we're too cool. We think Christ needs to come and get to us. Christ needs to get on our level. But who did he die for? So he ran to Jesus and he knelt down as a good soldier would, ready to receive instruction, ready to receive response, ready to receive commanded orders, ready to live my life that needs to be changed. That's going to keep me from spending eternal life with thee. And I just want to put a pin in this because each and every one of us has to understand that sometimes it's your attitude. Sometimes it's your behavior. Sometimes you got too much money. Sometimes it's things that have taken your focus off of God, and you now find yourself not running to Jesus, but running to stuff and things. Maybe people, maybe coincidences. But we have to be obedient to the Lord. And so, he recognizes that whatever comes out of Jesus' mouth is going to be what's needed in his life in order for him to guarantee eternal life. See, he's passionate about this thing. At least in the first 30 years. And I know a lot of people that when you say Jesus, they just fall out because they know God's done so much for them. But when it comes time to obeying God, when you pull up certain scriptures that God has given command, not inference towards, then all of a sudden, it's too much. He runs to Jesus, kneels down before him, poses the question. When he wants to, not anyone else in this family, he didn't ask about his mother, he didn't ask about his father, he didn't ask about his cousins. He said, what must I do to secure sealing my position with thee? And notice the response of the Lord. Why do you call me good? I love that verse because it really puts it back on the young man. What do you know about Jesus? What type of faith do you have in God? Is it just one that is exposed to everybody else? But God really don't get any intimate time with you? Jesus says, why do you call me good? And he asked him, no one is good but one, God. So why do you call me good when God is the only one that's good? What do you know about me? What is it that you're inferring here? What do you see? Verse 19, he says, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. He said this to him. And the response back was, teacher, I kept all these from my youth. This guy had a resume that was not pretty good, but that from a human perspective was great. He didn't murder no one. He had committed fornication or adultery with no one. He had to stand from no one. He had to bear false witness against anybody. He had to work to defend anybody. And he honored his mother and his father. That's a good person from a human perspective. And these are commandments from the Old Testament. So you know what it is. And for this young man, this young student, this young follower, who didn't want to be the teacher, but wanted to be the pupil. He says, I have kept all of these from my youth. I'm not that old, but from as far as I remember, up until this present moment, Jesus, I've done all this. But the interesting thing to me is if you've done all this, there's something you know about you. Because you're asking, what must you do to inherit eternal life? You know there's something that's missing. Jesus looked at him, and Jesus loved him. That's a pretty good resume for anybody. That resume will stand up here in 2019, where many would fall by the wayside based off of these scenarios. Well, you may not have shot somebody, but you killed them with your thoughts and with your tongue. He says, you lack just one thing. What is it, Jesus? What must I do? What is this one thing that's keeping me, or that may keep me from spending eternity with thee? I feel your love. I'm intensely anticipating your every word. I'm yearning for this response. But the response Jesus gives them is sometimes the very thing that we get when we don't want to have to really change. Jesus says, you got too much stuff. You. And I need your pure, undivided attention. He says, go, sell all you have, and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. That's a powerful statement because even in today's vernacular, many work like that proverbial hamster on that wheel. They spend their life working hard and spend up all their good life, and then they end up getting they piled up treasure that they now have to spend giving back to doctors and et cetera, they get older because they didn't understand health because they were looking for wealth. Well, God's wealth is different than what you see in the FDIC. The Federal Reserve Bank has nothing to do with it. Matter of fact, it only can reserve up to $250,000. Anything more than that is not covered, is not insured. But Jesus has no limit. He says, because what you have is standing in your way, you need to really see what it means to not have and depend on me than to have and depend on me. It's a different position. You have everything a poor man can want, but you lack your own eternal life. how bad do you really want it? Are you really willing to get rid of everything that you have that is possessive and looks to have wealth? And then not just squander it, but give it to the needy. See, our focus, folks, is really for the less fortunate. And we don't really see ourselves bending to help someone who's lower than we are. God wants you to help poor folks out the pit. And you are pulling out the pit, even so it may cause you to go in the pit because you're going to have an unlimited lifeline with God. You really want to be a hero? All that stuff that you have, how valuable is it to you? All of this where you are on earth, but it ain't going to help you in heaven. Matter of fact, it's going to keep you from getting there because you overlook what you should be paying attention to. Go sell all that you have, not just a percentage, all of it, and give it to the poor. And the treasure that you have on earth will turn into treasure in heaven. I don't know if you've seen that. There are people who have great possessions, and even you have something even today that you can part with. There's someone that needs assistance and needs help. I ain't talking about somebody that's greedy. I'm talking about somebody that's needy. That's someone that's going to miss you, but someone that just can't help, that needs help. Are you willing to take the coat off your back, the shirt off of your shirt that you are you willing to just to give to those that are poor? And what you don't realize is just as you go and fill out a deposit slip at the bank and you put it in an insured FDIC safety institution, that when you go there, you can make a withdrawal based on what you have in there. It's the same thing when you make these type of goodness moves to those that are less fortunate. You're building a deposit in heaven. He says, once you rid yourself of everything, now you look to me to help you. He says, then come and follow me. But the thing that's interesting in this text is the disposition of this young man once he has heard what it is he needed to do. And I don't know about you, reading this Bible can be tough sometimes. There's a lot of things I'd like to pull out here, but God, they're going to change for me and they're going to change for you what he's already said. But what's glaring to me is when you know people, that when they hear the truth, they don't want to be free. They're going to argue their position. And God's book is about logical debate, not argument. See, argument leads to confusion. God's not the author of confusion. But if we're really trying to figure something out, then we're able to come together and reason with God's word. Reasonable people will listen to what God has to say. Unreasonable people will disregard what God has to say. This man, young man, been good for a long time, had gained up treasure on earth, but lacked one thing. And this one thing that you lack, will you let it keep you out of heaven? Will you let the thing that you will pleasure keep you from treasure in heaven? Are you praying tongue now, and you're not willing to let go and let God in your life? He had great possessions. So God says, go and get rid of everything you have. Anything that's valuable, sell it and give it to the poor. You get treasure in heaven, you make a deposit in heaven. He says, then once you make deposit in heaven, you're able to then come and follow me. But look at verse 22. This verse suits me, you, and everyone else that is a graveyard traveler right through the eyes. But he was stunned at this demand. And he went away grieving because he had many possessions. You come looking for an answer to the question that you posed. God ain't going to make it easy on you because he wants you to elevate in spirit. And so, this man who was excited and yearning for the response, when he came running and bowing down, he now leaves grieving and stunned. Maybe he thought he had some things God couldn't see. Maybe he tucked some stuff away for a rainy day. But Jesus is able to look through all and able to evaluate the very heart that you have and what was going to keep him from eternal life, maybe the very thing that's going to keep us from eternal life with Jesus. When you hear about your character or your behavior, does it stun you? When you hear what Christ's demand is, does it alarm you? But the text says he went away grieving. He went away sorrowful. He left as if he lost something near and dear to him. What means that, to me, he had a relationship with his stuff and things. Pleasure brought him joy. And God says, I want to be in that spot. Anything that challenges the joy of God, God wants to extract it so that he can be your all in all. You have great possessions. Give it to someone that needs them. Don't squander them wastefully, but give strategically to the poor. And then you come on and follow me. And now we have an answer to his anticipated question. You think he'd be clicking his heels and jumping for joy. But the Bible says he was stunned. Jesus has left him like a deer staring in the headlights. He was dumb-tongued and dumbfounded. The thing that gave him cleanses so that he can enjoy God. God wants to dissect that. He wants you to divorce that so that he can be your all in all. And rather than welcoming this great advice from the good teacher that you said, you leave as if you just saw best friend die. How close are you to your stuff and things? How close are you to people that you will help, that you will allow them to keep you from getting into heaven? Bible says, because he had many possessions. There's many things in our lives. Not M-I-N-I, but M-A-N-Y. Relationships, situations, attitudes. There's many things. If God had to give you a list as he had to analyze this young man, would he come up with just one thing? Or would there be a laundry list of stuff? Well, we can start with murdering, adultery, stealing, false witness, defrauding and honoring father and mother. If you don't have those in line, you got to get that in line. And just a good dose of repentance. Changing not what you say, but changing your behavior so that the other party feels the difference, notices the difference. That's true repentance. I ask you today, what is it in your life that if God said, get rid of it, you would be stunned and I'd feel like you've just left a funeral? Are you willing to bury those things that will keep you from heaven so that you can elevate on the escalator of love and have a more intimate relationship with Jesus the Christ? How do you love him? Let me count the ways. Well, obedience to God is better than sacrifice. This man had sacrificed all these things he was good about. He had been obedient to that. But when God says this one thing, and God's love never changed for this young man, but the young man's disposition changed when he heard the response from God. I caution each and every one of us today. As you look at your life, knowing that you could be sick enough to die, knowing the death could be right around the corner or could start this evening for you, you may not wake up tomorrow. Are you willing to make changes that will be pleasing to God, that may cost you energy, it may cost you value, but it puts God in the driver's seat of every aspect of your life? Will God be the God of your marriage? Will God be the God of your pleasure? Will God be the God of your finances? Will God be the God of your social relationships? Will God be the God of your Facebook account? No, he didn't. Yes, he did. See, remember in the garden, in Genesis 3, he says, where are you, Adam? It wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was. He wanted Adam to see Adam. And Adam's response was, I heard you, so I hid. You didn't hide from God. You were hiding from yourself or from a area where you felt better not being in the presence. How many of us want to leave the presence of God? The blessing is being in his presence. The blessing is being under his blood cover. The blessing is being in an intimate relationship. The blessing is that God knows everything about you. You can't defraud the Lord. So quit trying to defraud yourself. Let's clear up our act. Let's give God all. And let's go to heaven with the Lord. It comes by obedience, hearing, believing, repentance, confession, and being baptized for the remission of your sin. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Must cause you to repent, turn to God rather than turn from God. Luke 13:3-5. Except you repent, you will likewise perish. Must cause you to confess the sweetest name of the Lord off a mortal's tongue. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Bishop Moody, I see you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God's Son. He's God the Son. Matter of fact, God called him God in Hebrew. You can't get with the Father around the Son. Matthew 10:32, he that confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And he that deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Sounds to me like your lead on God is the same lead Jesus is going to be about you. So he puts it in our hands to be about God and not about anything else. So he can be about us, that we can live eternal with him in heaven. But then you must be buried in the watery grave of baptism. Not drip-dropped, not poured, not christened. Anything dead needs to be buried. You need to be fully covered up in the watery grave of baptism to rise to the new creation in Christ Jesus. Peter says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto himself. And I was so excited, so we're glad to hear the Lopez tie in that Abrahamic promise, knowing that we can experience the same. And if you want to listen to Peter, listen to Paul. Romans 6:3-4, know you not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ's death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was buried from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk in the newness of life. You don't want to listen to Peter? You don't want to listen to Paul. Why not listen to Jesus? Mark 16:15-16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. For I already been baptized for the remission of my sin. I just need a good dose of repentance and confession. And the good thing about God, which is different than about us, is God will take that sin and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. But our forgettery is not so well intact, and that's why it messes with our forgivery. What I want you to do today is just spend time thinking about the Lord, giving God your all, and wanting to be in a good relationship with him. It's invitation time. If you have any prayer requests, you can type them in as we sing a song of encouragement. If you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, or you need some more information, just you can hit me on Messenger. or you can hit me on Facebook, and we'll connect with you wherever you're at and make sure that you get to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the river to be baptized. Why don't you take me to the water? Oh, Lord, yeah. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. To be baptized. Why don't you take me to the water? Water cleansing, y'all. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. To be baptized. Amen. You have a comment that you'd like to make, you can call in right now on our guest line, 619-924-0767. Again, 619-924-0767. And we will take your response at this time. What I want you to do is have a great day. Do something for somebody that they can't repay you for. You give them Jesus Christ's name, crucified. If this message has helped you or this ministry is helping you in any way, shape, or form, you can contact me through Messenger, or to be able to find out how to give, or go to www.gogothachurchofchrist.com. And there is a tab, more tab, a donation tab. You can connect with us there. They can either a tithe offering or a love offering of any amount, $1 or more. You can use our Cash App, or you can mailing in, however you choose to do it. This ministry is helping you. Reach out and help others. Do something for somebody that they can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We want you to continue to pray for all those that are so madly in need of prayer. Have a great evening. God bless you in the name of the Lord. And we'll see you soon. Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. God bless. Uh-huh.